Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2509, with a release date of Friday, November 28, 2025, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. The U.S. government and a radio operator agree on his fine for unlicensed broadcasting. A foundation grant helps Bangladesh hams continue their outreach on universities. And the FunCube, satellite AO73, marks 12 years in space. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2509 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now reporting from Charleston, West Virginia, here's Jim Dameron, NATMW.
Our top story this week takes us to Washington, D.C. The U.S. Federal Communications Commission has announced that the government will be collecting a payment from an unlicensed radio operator in Massachusetts, settling an enforcement case from last year. We have more from Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
The operator of a pirate radio station in Cape Cod, Massachusetts, has agreed to pay $7,200 to the U.S. Treasury as part of a consent decree with the FCC. According to a recent report on the Radio World website, the FCC said that the radio operator, Robert Bellinger, had been broadcasting on 93.1 FM without a license. The payment, which is part of his consent decree, was substantially reduced from the agency's original proposed forfeiture of $40,000, which it sought in 2024, in a notice of apparent liability. The Radio World report said that Bellinger responded to the notice at the time and told the FCC he was not able to pay that amount. An FCC review of his finances resulted in an alternative solution, a consent decree in which Bellinger admitted to his illegal broadcasts and a commitment to make the voluntary contribution specified. This is Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
The nation's aviation investigation agency has been busy looking into what led to a mid-air collision recently between a commercial airliner and a high-altitude weather balloon. For those details, we turn to Ralph Squalacci, KK6ITB.
In the U.S., the National Transportation Safety Board is investigating the mid-air collision in late October between a United Airlines flight and a lightweight weather balloon over Moab, Utah, that left the pilot injured and prompted an emergency landing in Salt Lake City. According to a report on the KOMO-TV news website, the Boeing 737 was flying at 36,000 feet when it crossed paths with a high-altitude balloon from Windborne Systems of Palo Alto, California. News reports said that the lightweight Global Sounding balloon was launched a day earlier from Spokane, Washington. Global Sounding balloons use radio sondes to transmit atmospheric conditions and other data gathered during their flights. A statement on the Windborne Company website said that the incident was the only mid-air impact in the company's record of more than 4,000 launches. Media reports said the captain's right arm suffered minor cuts, and some of the flight crew members were hit by glass from the first officer's shattered windshield. No cabin pressure was lost, and the plane was landed safely without further incident. This is Ralph Squillaci, KK6ITB.
The Amateur Radio Association of Bangladesh has been given a grant from the YASME Foundation to support its university-based campaign that has been bringing amateur radio to the next generation. Jim Meechan, ZL2BHF, has that story.
It's been a busy year for the Amateur Radio Association of Bangladesh, whose members have been touring 24 university campuses as part of a formal program to bring the science and the spirit of ham radio to students. The initiative recently received a grant from the YASME Foundation to support the ongoing educational work. In July, the association spent time with students at the University of Liberal Arts in Bangladesh, working in collaboration with the school's Adventure Club. Other campus visits included the Canadian University of Bangladesh and ZNRF University, where the students were able to experience satellite communication. In October, Stanford University Bangladesh welcomed the Amateur Club. With the help of the school's robotics club and the IEEE student branch, the amateurs presented a workshop that showcased fundamentals of RF, satellite communication and disaster response. The not-for-profit, California-based Yasmi Foundation supports initiatives that bring amateur radio to young people, especially in developing nations, by providing grants, awards and scholarships. This is Jim Meacham, ZL2BHF.
In the U.S., yet another part of the radio spectrum is being prepared for auction. Jack Parker, W8ISH, tells us what's next.
The Federal Communications Commission is exploring reallocation of a part of the upper C-band in the U.S. In a unanimous vote at its November 20th meeting, the Commission studied a draft version of a Notice of Proposed Rulemaking, which will guide its actions going forward. The FCC will be asking broadcasters and satellite users for comment on a number of options for reallocating 4.0 through 4.2 gigahertz before it moves to the competitive bidding stage no later than July of 2027. The FCC will also be invited comment from other users of the C-band who may be using frequencies near the portion being eyed for reallocation. When the lower half of the C-band was reallocated 5 years ago, its use was assigned for wireless services. Broadcaster satellite services were moved from there to the upper half of the band. This is Jack Parker, W8ISH.
The FunCube CubeSat, known as AO73, is not quite a teenager, but it's getting there. It just marked 12 years in space. Launched from Russia in November of 2013, the small satellite carries a full-time UHF to VHF linear transponder with an output of 300 milliwatts PEP. Hams have been making good use of the FunCube for both CW and SSB. Its orbit takes it over the British Isles and Europe six times a day, with three passes each in the morning and evening. According to AMSAT News Service, more than 11,631,536 frames of telemetry have been collected by ground stations, in many cases schools, since the satellite first went into service. Happy birthday, FunCube! Whether you're a new ham or someone who's been on the air for quite some time, it's still nice to have an advocate. The Radio Society of Great Britain is looking for just that person, a volunteer with a special devotion to helping radio operators with disabilities. We hear more from Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Having a disability of any kind should not keep an amateur or would-be amateur off the air. Recognising this, the RSGB is seeking someone to fill a new volunteer role as accessibility champion. The best candidate will raise public awareness of challenges for radio operators with disabilities while connecting those amateurs with community groups, assistive technologies and other resources. The RSGB's move comes just a few weeks after the IAIU Region 1 announced an upcoming activity by its Programme for Disabled Radio Amateurs. Organisers have declared a region-wide campaign on the 3rd of December in connection with the United Nations International Day of Persons with Disabilities. Hams have been encouraged to host a special event station, an open house or a relevant educational forum. Meanwhile, the RSGB is interested in hearing from candidates to fill their post. A description of the role can be found on the Society's website, rsgb.org. The contact person is Board Director Nathan Nuttall to Mike Zero Oscar Charlie Charlie. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the K0AMA repeater in Glenwood Springs, Colorado, and the linked KD0NU repeater in Aspen, Colorado, on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. local time. The deadline to apply for an ARRL scholarship to be given in 2026 is fast approaching. Applicants have until noon December 30th. The ARRL Foundation makes more than 150 scholarships available in amounts ranging from $500 to $25,000. Recipients must be active, FCC-licensed young radio operators. Different scholarships have different criteria, however, and some awards, such as the Amateur Radio Digital Communication Scholarships, are available to active licensed hams outside of the United States. There are also three 1010 scholarships available to all radio amateurs who are not necessarily U.S. citizens, residents, nor holders of a U.S. license. For descriptions of all the scholarships and an online application form, visit the link in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. History itself will be getting on the air soon when the Greater Cincinnati Amateur Radio Association hosts its annual AM Night. Paul Brown, WD9GCO, gives us the details and some of the history behind it.
Rigs of every vintage, quite a few new ones, will be tuned to 1.936 megahertz on December 18th for pre-net check-ins at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time. This will be a very special edition of the Greater Cincinnati Amateur Radio Association 1936 net. It was, in fact, October of that year when the newly formed association started hosting this regular net. The popular on-air activity came to a halt with the start of the Second World War, did not resume until 1986, the year that the club members decided to revive it to mark the association's 50th anniversary. The net managers are J, K-8-C-J-Y, and Jeff, W-8-G-N-M. Bill, NM4A, is the net control operator, and an average of 65 stations check in each week. The special net is expected to last 2 hours. After pre-net check-ins, the net itself gets going at 9 p.m. Eastern. Hams around the U.S. are invited to fire up their rigs, any rigs. Tom KD0IEL told Newsline in an email, quote, "This is a great opportunity to hear some classic AM rigs, heavy metal, military, broadcast AM transmitters, and state-of-the-art software-defined radio, virtually any ham radio capable of AM mode," end quote. This is Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
In the world of DX, LASA DL9LU is active on the air as DP0GVN at the Neumeier 3 station in Antarctica, IOTA number AN016. Listen for him on HF and via the QO100 satellite. He'll be in Antarctica until shortly before Christmas of 2026. Vlad, OK2WX, and Paula, OK2YL, are on the air holiday style from Panama as HP3/OK2WX and HP3/OK2YL, respectively, until the 10th of December. They're using CW and SSB, concentrating on 160, 80, and 40 meters. Be listening as well for Vlad in the CQ Worldwide DXCW contest on the 29th and 30th of November, and the ARRL 160-meter contest, which takes place from the 5th through to the 7th of December. Listen throughout December for the call sign 4T950, which is on the air to mark the 95th anniversary of the Radio Club Peorano, OA40. Look for activity throughout December on 40 through 10 meters, as well as on 6 meters, 2 meters, 70 centimeters, CW, SSB, FM, RTTY, and FT8. Nadia, OZ7AM, is on the air as OX7AM from Greenland, IOTA number NA018, through to the 3rd of December. She'll be using mainly CW and will be heard in the CQ Worldwide DXCW contest. For all of the stations listed, please see QRZ.com for QSL details. We're ending this week's newscast with Santa Claus. Okay, you may not believe in him, but Newsline's reporters do. In fact, We've all been very, very good this year, except maybe for Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. So here's Don now on his very best behavior, talking with Big Red about this year's 20th annual SantaNet.
Starting on Friday, November 28th, Santa will be calling CQ on 3.916 megahertz starting at 7 p.m. Central Time. Are you ready for the pile-up, Santa?
Oh, ho, 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 Don. I've been ready since December 26th of last year. It's all about the kids, Don. You know, the hams with the 3916 nets are the elves who make it happen every night, right up until Christmas Eve. Check-ins begin a half hour before the net starts. Now, we're giving the kids the gift of amateur radio because, as you know, radio creates the kind of magic that even us grown-ups can believe in. There are relay stations listening to make sure the kids get their contacts. Some of them are kids of hams who were kids themselves during our earliest Santa Nets. So, Don, would you tell everyone how to find out more?
Well, sure, Santa. For details about the Santa Net, visit the website cqsanta.com. You'll also find out details on how to check in.
Oh, Don.
Yeah, Santa.
You know what? You're a good boy after all.
Well, gosh, Santa, thanks. Now, about that nice new SDR transceiver, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW.
If you haven't sent in your ham radio haiku yet, what's been stopping you? Visit our website at arnewsline.org, and as you compose your ode to your favorite online activity, we'll help you use the correct number of syllables to make an authentic haiku. Submit your work and then sit back and wait to hear whether you are the winner of this week's challenge. The winner gets a shout-out on our website where everyone can find the winning haiku. With thanks to Amateur News Daily, AMSAT News Service, ARRL, David Bihar, 425 DX Bulletin, Jeff, W8GNM, KOMO-TV News, QRZ.com, Radio Society of Great Britain, Radio World, ShortwaveRadio.de, Tom, KD0IEL, Winborne Systems Website, Wireless Institute of Australia, Yasmi Foundation, YouTube, and you, our listeners, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer, non-profit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know we appreciate you all. We also remind listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Jim Dameron, NATMW in Charleston, West Virginia, saying 73. As always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2025. Amateur Radio Newsline retains ownership of its material even when retransmitted elsewhere. All rights are reserved.